We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Closed in places like New Jersey and California, but again, the NFL makes some news today as players are allowed to return under NFL guidelines to begin their workouts ahead of the season that we certainly hope starts on time, which will be on September the 10th when Houston takes on Kansas City. Well, we have the morning mashup here from Oren Romain, who's found some interesting things, as he always likes to do. Morning to you, Oren. How you doing?
John, I'm doing well. The question is, how are you doing this morning? We missed you yesterday. You went had some dental work done. We had Willie P. It was good, as always, to see another just any face in the studio that I haven't seen before. So it was nice to see Willie P. here. But no, how are you doing this morning, John?
I'm doing fine. I mean, I'm good. Just out of this curiosity, because I have to check. Are you done too with your dental work? Or are you?
No, I gotta go get two more teeth. I need two more teeth, and then I'm done, and that's it. So I just need to go figure out when I can get that done, and I chipped one of my veneers, so I need to go get that fixed. But after that, I'm good. I'm good to go.
Yeah. Well, you know, the blasted dental work. At least it's opening back up, so you can get it done now again. Yeah.
Why are dentists like bill collectors? When you need to come and get it fixed, they insist on calling you. Hey, come back and get it. Need to get those teeth fixed. They're sort of like bill collectors. Like, they're gonna make sure they collect on all that. Make sure you collect on the dental work so they can collect on the money, I guess.
Yeah, and you know what? I know everything's a business, but it just kind of feels kind of weird when the dental office calling you about their money though. You know what I mean? And you haven't had any dental work. That's just a weird feeling to me.
You're not borrowing teeth, I guess. No. You know, I didn't borrow these here, guys. This isn't like Blockbuster. I'm not written these to give y'all back these teeth.
Yeah, basically. It's a little weird,
Netflix.
Let's get into the mashup. Morning mashup story number one.
Vince Carter on a podcast that Hugh has spoken very highly about that Hugh wants to be a part of one day, the All the Smoke podcast with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. Vince Carter was a guest on this yesterday, and he talked about how, yep, it's done, it's over, you can stop. Yeah, just there's no, you know, speculation about it. He is going to be done playing basketball this year.
Is your career possibly over?
I think it's done. You know, I'm gonna be all the way 100 with you. I do. I mean, I just think safety first. Just listen to the NBA. Sometimes you got to read between the lines when they say it, but. I think safety's first, and they're just gonna ride this thing out until they figure out how to make things safe for the playoffs. And maybe we get 3 to 5 games, and that's it. So I'm in my mind, retired Vince is here, and that's why my golf game looking good right now.
That's very telling, you know, that for him to say that, and you know, because we're here in Atlanta thinking that, you know, we could give Vince his last hoorah. You know, and things like that. And he's basically saying, you know, he probably put his laced up his tennis shoes for the last time. I mean, which, if that is the case, I'm okay with that. It's just kind of, you know, it's just kind of sad that it got to end like that. You know, we knew it was coming to an end, but I'm pretty sure he wanted those last couple of games before it ended the way that it did.
I'm sure he did, too. I mean, we know where he's headed. Look, he's first ballot Hall of Famer. He's going to be a tremendous broadcaster, and he is going to be a great broadcaster. And so, you know, he's going to be fine in that regard. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, once we get back to real basketball, when I say real basketball, I'm talking about basketball with fans and the Hawks at some point in the future, whether it's next year or whenever, get hold of Vince Carter tonight and properly give him a send-off, which I think that would be a nice thing to do. And I'm sure the Hawks are thinking about doing something like that. You would think so. And who knows? Maybe, you know, the Raptors would do the same thing, you know, hold a Vince Carter.
He's going to have quite a few, huh? He'll have a couple Vince Carter nights. Man, it's just unfortunate that, you know, nobody's prepared for retirement. But when it comes abruptly like it did, you know, I mean, you know, he had in his mind where he wanted to go, and then it came, you know, way before he, you know, a couple of weeks before he wanted it to. That's kind of tough. But, hey, had a hell of a career. No question about that. Had a hell of a career.
Yeah, Hugh, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the majority, the great, great, great majority of athletes don't get to choose when they retire. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
I didn't. I thought I was going to sneak me one more year in. That didn't happen. Right. So, yeah, it's one of those things that when it hits you like a ton of bricks.
Morning Mashup story number two.
We'll turn our attention to The Last Dance. The story that finally came out was not so much a secret, I guess, but they finally confirmed it about the flu game for Jordan in that final series in 97. It wasn't the flu. It was food poisoning. A couple bits of audio about that. The first one from the director of The Last Dance, Jason Heer. Talked about it was kind of weird that Jordan ordered a pizza at 10:30 at night to eat, and he ate the entire pizza by himself. He goes into detail about why Jordan ordered a pizza that late, and, well, Jordan also being petty.
So earlier that night, those guys all ate dinner and didn't wait for Michael when they ordered. So it gets to be about 10, 11 o'clock, and Michael is starving and says, I want a pizza, or get me something. And we're talking about Salt Lake City. They're actually way on the outskirts of Salt Lake, and that's another layer to this story, is that they weren't staying in downtown where things would be readily available. There was no room service in the hotel, so they call out. When the pizza shows up, Michael says, everybody, do not touch this pizza. This is mine. You didn't wait for me. Don't touch this. So he spits on the pizza.
Wait a minute, what? That's disgusting. Like, this story, the pizza story, I mean, listen, it just sounds different. It sounds different. But, you know, talking to Willie P yesterday and him saying that being in Utah, he understands that, you know, it's kind of hard to get and everything. But, yeah, I if that's the story Michael Jordan's going to tell about the pizza, then go for it. I can't see even at late at night, 10:30 at night, which is the normal time that most people probably will get pizza, especially if it's on a weekend or whatever. Eating a pizza, that's not that really that late. If that's a story he wants to go with, John, then I'm cool with that. I mean, it's his story. Yeah, it's his, the right way he wants to tell it. If that's what he wants to say, it was the pizza that gave food poisoning, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, everybody says, oh, so it wasn't the flu, it was food poisoning, blah, 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 blah. It's just one of those interesting little side stories from The Last Dance. And, again, if that's what you're going to – look, it's a takeaway, and a lot of people were making a lot out of it on Twitter, but I'm thinking, man, if that's your takeaway from The Last Dance is going to be remembered for this, I went,
man, listen,
okay.
They were picking apart a whole bunch of stuff with that documentary. They even were talking about what's wrong with Michael Jordan's eyes. Is he sick? You know, because his eyes look a little yellow and stuff. And that was a story that I saw yesterday. Somebody even tweeted out that like he dips his eyes in Hennessy. So it was weird, you know. But everybody has their own takeaways when it comes to this documentary.
And Michael's takeaway is six rings. That's what his takeaway is.
Basically, and $2
billion. Yep, and $2 billion and ownership of the Charlotte Hornets. Morning Mashup story number three.
We'll keep it. The next cut about that Pizzagate. It aired Sunday, and the guy who delivered the pizza and made the pizza, he ended up on a radio show yesterday. His name is Craig Feight, strangely enough, and he goes into detail and explains his side of the pizza story.
So we went ahead and hopped in with the driver, and we head over to where they were staying. Everybody knows they were staying at the base of in Park City at the Main Street, down where the Marriott had just been built. It wasn't too old at that time. So from there, you have to go in through security. And so I'll be nice since I'm on the radio, since the crap story that the guy said that there were five people, there was two of us, and I didn't even have that many people working at the time at the store, but there was only two of us. You had police car, if I remember correctly, being parked in there, and you had to identify yourself. We're dressed in all of our uniforms. Both of us are in uniform, and it's clear where we're coming from. Walk in, security guy looks at us, says, great, go ahead, go on in. So I go ahead, and obviously the pizza has basically never left me. It's been around me the whole time. So we get into there, and as soon as you walk into the room or into the building, you could start already smell the cigar smoke. And we get in onto the elevator and go up to, it was on the second or third floor. I think it was the second floor. Anyway, we get up there, and boy, as soon as that door opened, I mean, it felt like, you know, got punched in the face with cigar smoke. But there were guys walking around, and one of the players, I want to say it was one of the players, and forgive me, guys, this was quite a few years ago, but I remember one of the players saying, "Oh, hey, pizza." And they, "Who's that for?" And I said, "I don't know. It's room," and I can't remember the room number, but I said, "It's room this." And they went, "Oh, for Mike. Oh, leave it alone." And then they, you know, they walk on, and thanks, man, or whatever.
So basically, the story kind of matches up a little bit, but you know, like I said, if that's how he got sick, then that's the story that he's telling. You know, I mean, it is what it is. I enjoy every minute of The Last Dance. Now, there were some parts where, you know, if I wanted to be skeptical about, I could be, especially when it started. He talked about all the girls in the booths in the rooms and how he wasn't partaking in any of that. I could be skeptical about that, but I'm not. I'm gonna let him have that one as well. It was an enjoyable spin on a story, and I enjoy every minute of The Last Dance, and I am not going to pick apart Mike's story. I'm going to believe him and take him for his word on everything that he said throughout that documentary. Every single word.
Wait, does anybody know what kind of pizza it was?
It sounds like
I'm sure they probably said it at one point, the exact ingredients
pizza,
on it, but
maybe. Does it matter?
No, I'm just curious.
Mike's pizza, that's what it was.
Mike's yeah, pizza. I just wonder what he likes, you know. I mean, is he like an anchovy and
does anybody
kind of
like
guy?
Anchovies, you know? Like John? Does anybody like anchovies?
Well, that's the point. You wouldn't have to spit on it if you got anchovies. If you
yeah,
got
that's
anchovies.
What I'm saying. I got anchovies on a pizza one time because I forgot what they were, and I'm like, never again. Like little fishies? Nah, bruh.
Fish on pizza, right?
Mike yeah, is so was... petty, though. I mean, would you be surprised if he spit on his pizza and told nobody they could have it? Like, that's just Mike.
No.
But if you're Mike and you're already, like, you know, punking your teammates and doing things like that, do you really need to spit on your pizza?
That's that sign of dominance. You know, with, like, animals pee on things to show dominance, Mike spits on pizza to show dominance.
Mike, you know, they got their fruit roll-up challenge now with the little kids. Mike, uh-huh. Ain't nobody touching Mike's food. If they say that's Mike's food, who's touching it? Mike used to have cats in practice. He used to take Horace Grant's food. Who's going to take Michael Jordan's food? All you got to do, hey, that's Mike's pizza. Leave it alone. That's all they got to say. He got to spit on it.
If Mike was that guy, that employee that you work with, and he had his food in the refrigerator that said Mike's food, you're not eating it if it's in the refrigerator
I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. I know that, as a matter of fact, it's funny because we have Mike Conti work there, and I remember people used to take Mike Conti's sodas. I don't know who did it. So if Mike listening,
I
don't know who did it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember
that. I don't know who did it, Mike, but I do remember Mike being a little bit perturbed when he found out that his soda was.
Well, it wasn't community soda, as he said. I mean, it wasn't, you know.
No, it wasn't.
Right, exactly.
People that do that, man, you're a different breed because you don't know what somebody could have done to that bottle to set you up.
Right.
And for you to take it, Or take somebody's food or something, you're living at your own risk at that point. So no, I don't know who did it, but that's kind of crazy.
I took a linguine into CNN once, and it was gone. And I was like, about 3 hours later, it was out of the freezer. It was gone. I was like, really?
Were you mad? Were you big mad or little mad?
Well,
you don't strike me as the type of person that seem like you take somebody taking your food very serious, and they might catch the wrath of John Fricky.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, if I knew who took it, but I mean, since I don't know who took it, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, and at this
point. So you didn't go in the newsroom and say, who took my lean cuisine?
Well, the newsroom's got 300 people in it, so it's.
So you didn't. Allowed. So again, John Freaky, I asked.
I did you know that works. This is the national desk at CNN. Who the hell took my lean cuisine?
Who took my lean cuisine? I hope you get sick.
I spit at it. That would have been actually classic, you know. But.
No, but that's what I'm saying. When you take somebody else's food, you're taking that chance that they did something to it. Like, seriously. You're taking a serious chance. So, yeah. I've never done that. Never been a fan of that either. Never been a fan of taking somebody else's food. That's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, right. So, I don't understand it either. Morning Show with John and Hugh. We'll catch up with a few other stories coming up. Again, big day today for the NFL, report day for the NFL. I want to ask Hugh a little bit more about what he thinks about what could happen with college football, too. We'll catch up a little bit as we continue next That'll be a big subject over the rest of the week, this whole college football. It's going to be big talker with the NFL opening up today. What's going to happen with college football? We'll get into that. Reminder that you can catch us on radio.com anywhere in the world, 24/7, 365. App is free in the App Store. Not a problem. Just go in there, get it, and you'll have radio.com on any smart device, and you can listen to 92 on the Game anywhere at any time. Morning show from the Mobile Kia Studios all over Metro Atlanta. Hope you're having a nice day on this Tuesday. Nice, another cool day in May. Man of mercy, Hugh. I think the high tomorrow is going to be in the 60s. For like the third week in May, this has been the coolest May we've had in a long time. I'm not complaining, mind you. It'll get hot soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, don't start complaining, John Freaking. This is also probably the weirdest May that we've been a part of in a long time. So, yeah, there's that. Yeah, don't forget
about
that.
There's that, too. Weirdest year. Weirdest everything. You're right about that, you know. There's no doubt about that. One thing, a little kind of bonus morning mashup here, because we didn't get to it in the last segment, but we wanted to bring this into the show today. And Orin, you have a cut from LeBron James. He's talking about football, right?
Yes, he is talking about football.
This is LeBron James talking about, were LeBron James to have considered playing in the NFL at some point in his career?
You know, never having the ability to finish my high school career of playing like my senior year, I have dreams all the time about playing football. And it's like, it's crazy because I actually never run on the field in my dreams. It always gets to the point where I'm either in the locker room or getting dressed or talking about it or seeing the fans. And as soon as I run about to run on the field, something else happens in my dream. It's like something that, yeah, it always happens like that. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Did you get the call from Bron saying, hey, I might want to do this?
I did not, but I know he got a contract from Jerry Jones that he framed and put in his office.
Yeah, it was one of his agents saying, you know, hey, listen, can you imagine LeBron James as an NFL wide receiver?
Yeah, he'll be a big dude, man. He'd be probably a little different. Yeah, be a big, big, fast guy. No question about that. Man, that I know that he played in high school. Heard stories about him playing in high school. Heard he was pretty good. But, yeah, that would be pretty interesting.
Man, if he had played in football, it makes you wonder a little bit, at least makes me wonder a little bit, you know, the decisions that these guys make. Because some of these multi-sport athletes have to make, very few of them are Brian Jordan or Deion Sanders. You know, we talked about, you know, Bo Jackson, Danny Ainge, the guys that were able to play two professional sports. That's kind of a rare thing. Most of them have to make a choice. And, you know, Dave Winfield had to make a choice, you know, basketball, football, baseball. You have to make a choice. LeBron made a choice, not that he made the wrong choice, by the way. He probably made the right choice.
Oh, you're talking about longevity and as long as he's played his playing career? Yeah, no, right. He made the right choice. He definitely made the right choice.
But, boy, how about having the ability to make that choice?
Yeah. You know? I mean, you know, you're talking about guys like Antonio Gates, played basketball, now is considered a Hall of Fame tight end. Like, just think if he would have played basketball, how different it would have been.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, that's pretty impressive. No question about that.
LeBron making another bit of news here. His uninterrupted media company is going to produce a documentary on the Astros sign-stealing scandal for this Quibi. Quibi is a new, you know, TV outlet.
Yeah, I think it's like a short movies or whatever.
Right.
That's what I haven't watched it, but I know they made a big deal about it being called a Quibi. So, yeah, I think that's a bunch of short films or whatever.
Yeah, it hasn't really it's struggled to kind of get going here, and they're hoping that maybe this will help them kind of launch. So LBJ's company is going to make this thing on the Astros sign stealing. So let's a couple of things about this. A, let's not forget that when we do get back to baseball, we still have to deal with the Houston Astros. Okay, we still have to deal with the fact that these guys cheated their way to a World Series.
And, are we still going to deal with that though, John? With everything else, do we got time for that? I'm asking. Do we have time for that?
I can walk and chew gum, so yes.
Okay. I would think that that would be – I mean, me personally, I think that would – I would think that that would be something that would probably be dealt with, like, later on down the line. But, I mean, you're right. There are probably some people out there that are, you know, waiting for it to come back so that they can do that. That's what they're going to do. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, we'll see, you know, again, how it all plays out here. But at some point, the Astros – by the way, A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow, the general manager and the –
the manager of the Astros, who were suspended for this season. They're probably sitting around laughing, going,
"That's
you
why
suspended
y'all ain't
me
playing.
For another season,
yeah.
right?" You
yeah,
know?
And then you know the fact that the season has been shortened, they're probably laughing for real,
Right. So LBJ's the second part of this is LBJ's uninterrupted media company is going to produce this documentary. It'd be interesting, Hugh, to see how they treat this documentary. You know, look, I want them to go after the Astros, but you got to be careful what you do when you're – look at it this way. Let's say that you're – I don't know. You're one of the Astros that's involved in all this mess here. And uh-huh. LBJ comes at your neck in this uh-huh. documentary. Do you, start to figure out ways to maybe get some get back to him? Do you – I mean – You sit around and take it, or do you want to fire back at him? You know,
back at him, and in what way, John?
I mean, I don't know. You try and dig up dirt on him. I don't know. I mean, you come after me, I come after you, kind of thing. You know.
Well,
sort of
I think if it's a documentary, I don't think you could. I mean, about factual stuff. I mean, I don't think you know. I mean, I'm thinking you really. How can you come at him? I mean, because he's not doing nothing but just reporting the facts, right?
Well, yeah, I know. I just think about some of these things. It's sort of like politics, you know. You come at somebody, and they come back at you.
No, I hear what you're saying, but you're basically he's telling a story that's already been told. He's just putting a little bit more detail into it. But it's already out there.
I'm not mad at him. I want.
I'm not saying you're mad at him. But how can you be mad at if you're a player and you're part of this scandal? How can you be mad at LeBron James for putting the story out there? That's already out there. Like, people already know you cheated. You see what I'm saying? That's kind of where I'm going with it. They mm-hmm. already know you cheated. Right. He's doing what – if he's not going to do it, somebody else will. You see what I'm saying?
Right. No.
That's how I kind of look at it.
So, this will be interesting if they get this done here and launch it here in the not-too-distant future. And, yes, I can walk and chew gum. I'm all for LBJ doing this. I think the Houston Astros ought to pay a much steeper price than they have paid. And, boy, did they get so kind of weirdly, oddly lucky with the whole coronavirus.
They got a little bit of a pass, huh, with everything that's going on.
This
whole pandemic. They lucky the pandemic hit when it did, huh? That's funny.
In a weird kind of way, yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to go back to something at the top of the year because I wanted you to expand on it a little bit. So now they're saying, because there are people out there who are saying, Herm Edwards is weighing in about how do we have football if we don't have students on campus. And my daughter was telling me, she works over there near with Kennesaw State for a company called Van Wagner, and she was, does the marketing for Kennesaw State, that there are students that she knows that she's living around who are talking about how their high school senior brothers, sisters, or whatever are talking about the new thing, which is called a gap year. Now, what they're saying is this gap year is the high school seniors now are going to take a year off from college, and I don't know what the hell they're going to do, but they'll work, maybe they'll just go to Florida, I have no idea, but they're going to take a whole year off from college and then go back, and in 2021, it's going to be, or 2021, you know, a year from now. Anyway,
yeah,
point is there's going to be a gap year where colleges are going to miss all of these. I mean, we're talking about tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of high school seniors who are going to take the year out and just sit out.
You know what, John? That's in a neighborhood that I'm not privy to, because luckily for me, my son is going into his senior year now. And, you know, we kind of laughed and joked about that yesterday. And I told him the fact that, you know, you're going to be out of my pocket soon. I can't imagine him coming at me saying something about a gap year, you know, especially if, like, he could take a gap year if he had a plan. Now, the plan would have to involve him putting money in his pocket and him being a productive working class citizen. You know what I mean? But just to sit around and live off of my dime, nah, that's not going to happen. You know, you could go to school and do that, you know, if that's what you're going to do. I don't know. I understand that a lot of these kids, they're dealing with the fact that they didn't have a senior year. They didn't have a prom. I get that. I understand that. I'm sympathetic to that. But I think that situations like this, you know, they define you and they help make you a stronger individual. So you need to figure it out, you know. And I understand that most of them are looking at it. And the family members are probably looking at it like, oh, yeah, well, you know, little Timmy or little Jennifer, they didn't have a senior year, so they need to go out and, you know, sow their wild oats. You'll sow your wild oats on your own dime. You better get a job and start sowing those wild oats. That's how I kind of look at it.
Well, I would think if you're talking about, hey, listen, I only have one daughter, so, and she's out of college, but, you know, if she came to me and said, Dad, I need a gap year, I would say, okay, all right, here's how we're going to gap year this. You're going to get a job, and you're going to take online classes.
Yeah, you know what, John Fricky? You know I love you to death. You ain't talking to your daughter like that, man. You love Danny too much. Danny got you wrapped around her finger, bro. Like seriously, like most little girls do. I mean, it sounds tough here on this radio show this morning, but you know that's not gonna happen, John.
Well, actually, she would probably do that on her own though. That's going to her. She would. Dad, I'm gonna get a job, and I'm gonna take online classes. Okay, hon.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that, yeah, yeah, that sounds like a better story than the one you're trying to spin here this morning.
I was working it, okay, you know, but this gap year, I wonder, you know, if you know, you end up at college campuses that only have, you know, because I think a lot of college campuses are worried that they're going to have, like, less than 50% of the normal
low enrollment. Yeah, that probably is going to happen, John, because, you know, a lot of these kids, they've sucked it up and they've had to deal with a lot and they probably do need a little bit of time off. You know, I'm talking tough too. Luckily for me, I don't have a senior that I have to deal with this. So I'm really probably just talking out the side of my neck too. But it's one of those things where it had to, you know, for some kids it probably was traumatic because you're talking about no senior pitcher, no senior prom pitchers or any of that. So that's a part of your life that the class of 2020, they didn't get a chance to experience. Okay, Orin. That song's for you, John.
No. I think Orin's playing it for himself. You know what? Orin's song should be I'll Be Wrapped Around Your Swing Set.
The Fun Police.
The Fun Police tries to. Morning Radio is next from Abe the Producer. Three questions that we ask. He asks us. We don't know what they are. We ask you. They're always fun. And we throw it up on our Twitter. We'll do that a little bit of fun next. On the morning show, stand by for that on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and streaming worldwide on radio.com.
Heads up. There's a three-course meal headed your way. This is the morning menu on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we broadcast from the Mobile Kia Studios on this beautiful Tuesday, or hopefully it'll be a beautiful day. Man, a mercy. You know, get outside and do a little something, but as long as it doesn't rain today. My yard is a mucky mess, Hugh Douglas. I mean, a mucky mess.
What's wrong with it?
Oh, just a lot of rain here anyway. Got just so much rain. It's just mud out there, so I can't get out in the yard, and I can't mow it, I can't trim it, I can't do anything to it. I just have to look at it. What are you going to do? Problems of being a homeowner, which is what Abe's going to encounter in the not-too-distant future, I believe.
You know what, John? You have the uncanny ability. Every time I was talking about a home to Orin in the break, and you have an uncanny ability every time that I mention that to do something that deters me. I don't know what it is, but you always say something that deters me from wanting to do that again. Definitely.
You have people, Hugh. I mean, you have people that can handle this stuff.
But I'm just like, man, listen. No, because you get to thinking about, like, how much is that going to cost, and then you have the lawn service and all that, and then here you going out there doing it yourself. You're like, I could probably get out there and do it myself.
Morning menu time. Abe, the producer, three questions from us to you. And, of course, we put them up at our Twitter at 929 The Game. Always a lot of fun to read the replies here. Morning to you, Abe. What up?
Not too much. As you mentioned, new homeowner and already finding things that have made me question my decision. I found a slight leak in my bathroom sink last night, so I got to deal with that. So no more calling the maintenance man. I got to figure it out on my own. So
yeah, that's depressing. But thank you very much. Thanks, Abe. Thanks a lot.
That's all right. Okay, guys, you know, it's been a while since we've had a Braves discussion, so I figured I'd drum one up here for you guys. Appetizer round today. What player in the Braves organization do you think is most likely to be the highest paid player at their position? And I do want you to consider the status of current contracts.
You mean when? At what point in his
at
career?
At any point in their career, which Braves player do you think is most likely to be the highest paid player at their position?
Ooh, that's a good question. And, you know, immediately comes to mind to me is the usual suspects, Ronald Acuna, maybe Ozzie Albies, but I would say Acuna because he's still going to be, even though he got $100 million, he's still going to be kind of like in his prime when it comes to his next contract. So I would probably say him, and he's probably going to be in a position, you know, just learning from not – I don't want to say mistakes that he's made, but just learning from his earlier contracts. He's probably going to come in and want to get paid for his services if it trends in the way that it's trending. So I'm going to say him. I'm going to say Ronald Acuña.
Yeah, I don't know that – for Acuña, that means he at his position he'd have to be – you know, like Mike Trout money. I don't know that, you know, I mean, is that question, let me ask you another clarification. Are you talking about the Braves paying that kind of money or just generally anywhere?
If you want to extend it to someone leaving the Braves for a big contract, you can do so. But
well, then,
but,
yeah, then Acuña. I mean, whether the Braves would pay that kind of money. And, of course, we don't know what it's going to be like going forward anyway. I assume it's going to be still pretty big money, Hugh. I mean, it may be somebody as, you know, as arcane as Shea Langeliers, you know, a catcher, if he's really everything that the Braves say that they seem to think that he is. But I think, yeah, I mean, Acuña's got this long deal. When it ends, he's going to get whatever top of the market is. I just don't see any ceiling for him. But maybe second base is a more interesting place because there won't be that many highly paid second basemen. So I'm going to go with Ozzy Albies in that regard.
Yeah, you know, I thought about Albies, but I, you know, it's really tough to I almost had to rule him out because the money he'd have to get at second base, normally I agree with you, John, wouldn't be a ton, but Jose Altuve is commanding a ridiculous amount of money at second base right now, and obviously who knows what the contracts are in 7-8 years when these guys, both Albies and Acuña, are looking for new deals. I'm going to go with Freddie Freeman, though. The first base market is not that overblown. He's really like the third or fourth highest paid first baseman as it is. He's got a new deal coming up in, I want to say, maybe 2 years. He'll be an unrestricted free agent, and he's had a team-friendly deal. I think he's making 22 now. For him to be the highest paid first baseman, maybe it would take 27, something like that. So, and to your points, the Braves, I don't think, are going to pay Acuña the amount. Certainly in the free market, that's a great answer. Albies, I think just because of Altuve, it's going to be tough. But I'm going to go Freddie Freeman on that one.
All right. What you got for a main course?
All right, main course time. NASCAR had big-time ratings, the best ratings they've seen for a non-Daytona race since actually the race in Atlanta a couple years ago. Bundesliga obviously saw the biggest numbers they've ever put up here in the U.S. So both of those sports had monster numbers for their respective expectations. But the question I have for you guys is between NASCAR and the Bundesliga, which sport do you think is most likely to hold those ratings and have a return of viewership this coming weekend?
I'm going to say Bundesliga because of the way that soccer has hit in the United States and the fact that everybody's watching it now, you know, and I'm looking at the numbers that Atlanta United is doing on a weekly basis when they're back in. I'm going to say Bundesliga.
You know, I'm going to go with NASCAR if for no other reason than, you know, NASCAR fans. When we talk about NASCAR, one of the things that's true is that venues, it's sort of like, I guess, golf in a way. When you're traveling all the time, the venue kind of matters. In other words, one of the reasons the Masters is the Masters is because the venue is Augusta National. When it comes to NASCAR, the three most popular tracks, I would think, are, you know, for NASCAR fans, for NASCAR heads, are Talladega, Daytona, and Charlotte. And so Charlotte being the trioval, being the home of NASCAR, it is a popular track to watch racers race at. It's my favorite track to watch racers race at because I do like the whole kind of trioval thing, Hugh. I think it lends a kind of a different kind of racing that I really like. So I'm going to go with NASCAR based on the venue of Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Maybe
yeah, the one thing – yeah, sorry, I had to take myself back off mute. The one thing that I'm trying to comprehend here is the time for each of these things. Obviously, Bundesliga is a little earlier in the day. And as you mentioned, this Coca-Cola 600 has always been a night race. It gets going, I want to say, at 6 o'clock this week. John, do you know what time the Tiger Brady
I can look it up here. By the way, that's going to be the big thing this weekend because it's going to get gigantic numbers.
Yeah, and the question I would have, it says here it's going to be broadcast at 3 o'clock Eastern time. That's probably not going to end until 7 or 7:30, I would think. And boy, you wonder how much that cuts into that first hour, hour and a half of the NASCAR numbers. I would think a pretty good amount. So, you know, for that reason, I think Bundesliga is probably maybe in a better position this weekend. I do think that long-term the interest in Bundesliga is going to die down, especially as some of the U.S. sports do return. But for this weekend only, I think NASCAR may see a dip as compared to the Bundesliga. Certainly NASCAR will still have more eyes overall than Bundesliga. But I think the golf's going to take away from it. And as you mentioned, Don, you're right. The golf is the big ratings getter this weekend, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's at they're teeing off at 3 o'clock Sunday. It's going to be you on TNT, TBS, True TV, and HLN. They're putting it on four networks. I'm going to guess that maybe each of the four networks has some kind of a different broadcast. You know, a different spin on a different angle on it. That's my guess. You know how they do the multi, you know, thing what they like to do with, you know, oh, the hometown broadcast to this team or the hometown broadcast to that team. So I'm guessing that's what they're going to do here. But that's just a guess. I don't know that for fact. But it's going to be four different networks, you, at 3 o'clock. Are you going to be watching that, the Tiger and Brady and Peyton Manning thing?
That would be a negative, John Fricky.
All right,
I'll probably watch a little bit of it, but no, that's not going to be my cup of tea. That's not going to be my twist this weekend.
Hope it's better than the last weekend with that foursome that played, because that was pretty boring.
Yeah, so I heard. I heard that didn't do as well as they thought it was going to do.
All we were talking about is Ricky's porn stash. That was pretty much it.
Porn stash. Ricky's gone through some changes in his golf career. He went from the skateboard kid to, you know, the preppy kid. Now he's rocking the porn stash. Yeah, he's going through some changes.
All right, Abe, dessert round.
Yeah, big question here, guys. What's the most expensive thing you've ever bought entirely online?
I bought a car online one time.
Wow.
Yeah, I bought it was a 67 Camaro. Bought it online.
Full on sight on scene?
Yep. But it was a project car.
Wow.
So I just brought the frame, you know, like, and then, you know, had it restored.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and you're not
Do you remember, if you're willing to share, how much that cost?
It was like $25,000.
Woo! Okay.
Yeah, you got me. I mean, does that not include, like, plane tickets? I mean, we're not.
Oh, no, they
just
ship it.
Yeah, I was hoping to avoid, hoping to avoid vacation and you know, rental property, stuff like that, yeah.
I don't know, $25 or something maybe. I ordered something offline. I don't buy things.
wait a minute. $25?
Yeah, you know.
I buy something more expensive than that, like, three times a week.
All right, how about $100 worth of Omaha steaks that I give to my folks at Christmas?
That's not bad. That's good. I've definitely bought a TV online and some other stuff. I'd say the most expensive thing I bought is probably $450. I never spent over like $600 online, not without checking it out in store or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, Hugh's going to win this. That's for sure. Are we going to have fans in the stands? It's one of the questions that we have for you this morning. Why don't you think about it in the break? We're going to discuss it. I want to hear from you, too. Phone lines are always going to be open on the morning show at 404-741-0929. Will sports have fans sooner than later? Because I'm going to tell you, I think fans are going to come back faster than you think. We'll do that next with John and you on the morning show on Sports Radio 92 on The Game and streaming worldwide at radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.